Hey friends, it is good to be with you again. My name is Ricky James, a senior pastor at First United Methodist Church here in Clinton. And whether you're watching online or listening to us at Supertalk FM, I'm so glad you're with us on this fourth Sunday of Advent. Now, all throughout this month, we have been reflecting together on how, in the midst of our tangled life, Jesus comes and is born with us, among us, to help us deal with the mess of our lives in this world. And so on this final Sunday before Christmas, we are reflecting on how this good news that Jesus comes with us and lives with us, this good news is given to anybody and everybody, even those that we least expect. So I hope you've come ready to hear a certain and special message that God has for you. Thanks for being with us. Welcome.
Story ever told. blaze of blinding light. Angels singing carols in the cold.
Carols in the cold.
Eternal revelation to men as dull as stone. The glorious, greatest story. Come bow before this awesome mystery. Mighty God and fragile baby, hear the lowly manger voice, and it's still the greatest story ever. Sing glory in the highest. He is come, our great Messiah. Come bow before his awesome mystery. Mighty God and fragile baby, hear a lowly manger holds, and it's still the greatest story ever told. Yes, it's still the greatest story ever told.
Would you join me now in affirming our faith using the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Well, friends, as we approach the end of the year, I just want to say yet again, thank you. Thank you for your generosity, how you have given so faithfully and so generously this entire year. You know, we didn't know what 2021 was going to look like, whether it was going to be worse or better, and I don't really know how to answer that question yet. But it's soon to be over, and you can help us finish strong and to start the next year on an even stronger footing. So please consider your gift. You can do that at firstmethodistclinton.org/giving. You can mail your check to 100 Mount Salis Road, or drop it off the next time you're with us. We'd love to have you in person, particularly on our Christmas Eve services this Christmas Eve night. But however you choose to give, remember, you make an eternal difference.
Sleep in heavenly peace. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
Would you join me now and praying to our Lord using the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us for our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Who's the first person that you call when you have really great news to share? You know, that person that when you need to tell somebody something really important, really special, really significant, who's that first person that you call? Maybe your spouse, maybe a brother or sister, maybe your mom, maybe your kid, that person that as soon as you have something special to share, they are the first person you reach out to. And I imagine that whatever your answer, it is somebody you already have a relationship with, right? We reach out to people that are close to us, that we know will be happy for us when we share this news. That's who we reach out to. I bet none of us thought about running up to a stranger and telling them some special news, right? None of us would just run down the street and stop somebody we don't even know and say, I'm having a baby. We wouldn't, would we? Which makes it all the more interesting, I think, that in the scriptures, the very first people that get told about the birth of Jesus are complete strangers. People who don't know who Mary and Joseph are. People who have no idea where this is even happening. Suddenly, out of the blue, strangers are greeted with the good news of the birth of Jesus. We're going to look at that today as we continue in this series on detangling Christmas. I can't believe we're almost to Christmas Day. It's been really fast this year for me, at least. But if you remember, we began by looking at how God comes to us in the midst of this tangled mess that we call life. And that in Jesus, He comes to help us detangle the mess that we find ourselves in. But He does it in a way that's not judging us for our mess or making us feel guilty about it, but rather simply saying, I'm come to be with you in your mess. And once I'm here, I'll begin to clean things up. So we started by looking at the messy family situation of Joseph and Mary, the unexpected announcement that Mary was pregnant, and Joseph's response, and perhaps what his family might have thought, what the village might have thought. The next week we looked at the idea of messy expectations, how the birth of Jesus was probably not what Mary expected it to look like, having to travel away far from home, finding that there was no place for them to stay once they got there, having to give birth in a barn. That's not what Mary expected, and how often our life is just full of messy expectations. Last week, we talked about how we're all a bunch of messy people. And we looked at the story of Herod and the wise men and how both of these stand for decisions that we make about what we're going to do with the news that Jesus has been born, and how our life is a mess of different intentions and different desires and different hopes and different fears, and how Jesus comes to us in the midst of that mess. So today, we read the story of the announcement of Jesus' birth to a group of people that we wouldn't expect to be the recipients of this message, this announcement. We see the story of the angels visiting the shepherds. And we hear the angel song. And I want to share that with you today. It's from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, one who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom He favors." So this story of the angels coming to visit the shepherds is the first story that is told right after we read about the birth of Jesus in the stable. And what we see is the angels of the Lord, the messengers of God, coming to announce the birth of the Messiah to a group of shepherds. Now, for those of us who have grown up around the church and maybe gone to one too many Christmas pageants, we think of shepherds as those kind of cute, cuddly, precious moments figurines, or little kids in their parents' bathrobes with little staffs. It's all precious, right? Cute. That's not what shepherds were at all in the first century in the Middle East. It's not what they are like now, even in the Middle East. Shepherds are salt of the earth kind of people. In Jesus' day, shepherds were blue-collar workers. They were the guys that had their hands dirty, their skin leathered by years of being out in the sun and exposed to the wind and the rain. And shepherds, well, friends, I don't know how to say it, they smelled like sheep. These were not the kind of people that everyone else looked up to. They were kind of messy. They were the people that we might think of as outside polite society. In fact, the really religiously orthodox observant Jews in Jesus' day, they looked down on shepherds because of the work that shepherds did. They were often unable to maintain ceremonial purity, being able to be pure enough to go into the temple and to make the sacrifices and offerings. Their work brought them into contact with so many different things and other animals that would render them ritually unclean. And so they were seen as less righteous than the rest of society. Others thought they were lazy. All they did was sit around all day watching sheep. They thought they were kind of shiftless and not to be trusted, because shepherds had a reputation of taking their sheep and grazing them on other people's land. And so people looked with a lot of skepticism at shepherds. These were the people that, if you and I were going to write a story about who gets told first about the birth of the king, these would not be the people we went to. These are people who live quite literally in the mess of life. They had a messy job. People thought they were messy. They smelled messy. They looked messy. Man, these are not the people that we would expect to be the first to hear the angel's song. But when the glory of the Lord, the angelic messengers, shine around them and appears out of nowhere, we need to get the sense that something extraordinary is happening. First, we're told that the shepherds see the glory of the Lord. Now, this is actually a really important term, the glory of the Lord. It comes from the Old Testament. In the Hebrew, it's Kabod Adonai, the glory of the Lord. It's the same word, the same phrase that is used in the Old Testament to describe God's presence in the wilderness tabernacle. So if you remember in the book of Exodus, as the people of God are being led out of slavery in Egypt, God says, I'm going to lead you out and I'm going to dwell with you. My presence will be visible in the way that you'll see my presence, my glory of the Lord, my kabod Adonai. The way that you'll see that presence is by a fiery pillar at night and a cloudy column during the day. And I'll lead you, and the glory of the Lord will dwell with you. The divine presence will be at the tabernacle, at the tent of meeting. And it was a sign of God's presence. And what was very true in the Old Testament, at least, is that the ancient Israelites believed that no one who was unrighteous could look upon the glory of the Lord, the kabod Adonai. No one who was unrighteous could look upon the glory of the Lord and live, that you would be struck dead. So with that in the background, we can understand why the shepherds are terrified. Because the glory of the Lord is in front of them. The night sky is full of the divine message and the angelic voices. And so the shepherds are terrified, quite frankly, because they too believe they're sinners. They believe what everyone else has said about them. They know they're not righteous. They know they're not pure. They know they're not clean. They know they live messy, sinful lives, which means when the glory of the Lord shows up, they're good as dead. Which is why I think the angel immediately says, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news." Good news. And the angel shares with the shepherds three really important pieces of information that night. The angel tells them that a Savior has been born in a town called Bethlehem. They tell them that this child is the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed King. And then finally, they tell them that this child is the Lord. And after that angel shares this information, the angel is joined by a heavenly army. If you ever wonder what does heavenly host mean, it literally means in the biblical language, an army of angels. They show up and they burst out in song, in praise and in worship, crying out, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth." So what would you do in that circumstance? If you found yourself in the middle of your work day, or in this case, work night, and you were a person who other people really didn't count as very important, maybe you've got a job where you work with your hands and they're just calloused and dirty all the time. Maybe you've got a job that other people don't understand or look down upon or make fun of. Maybe you don't live in the best part of town. Maybe you've got a lot of reasons why you have bought into that lie that you're worthless, you're no good, you've made too many mistakes, you've just made a mess of your life. And you work hard and you make a good living, but you never can seem to get out of that cycle of just being a mess. Imagine if God came to you through an angel and said, "I have good news for you. There has been a child born in Bethlehem. That child is a king. That child is your Lord. And that child desires nothing more than to bring glory to his Father and peace to you." Imagine if that happened to you. In the midst of your messy life, in the midst of all of the challenges and frustrations, what if that angel came to you and said that? Well, the good news is, that's exactly what happens at Christmas every year. We remind ourselves of this story, of how angels announced to unexpected shepherds, regular, run-of-the-mill, hard-working folk, that a child had been born, a child who was to be the king, a king who was to be our Lord, a Lord who was to bring glory and peace to everyone. So what would you do? As the story continues, we hear the shepherds, they run to Bethlehem. They want to go see. And they find Mary and Joseph and the baby, just as the angels had said. And the scripture tells us that they come and they worship him, and then they go back home praising God. We've got just a few more days left before Christmas. A few more days to reflect and to remember and to prepare. I often find that that last week is the busiest and most stressful week. All that last-minute shopping, last-minute cooking, last-minute trying to figure out how to get out of a family gathering. That stress of that last week has a tendency to really kind of mess up the whole season if we're not ready. And so my prayer for you in this last week of our Advent season, no matter who you are, where you work, what you do, no matter where your life is perfect or perfectly messy, I want you to pause and to hear a special message that God has sent through His messengers to you. God wants you to hear this. A child has been born. He's the King. He wants to be your Lord, because He desires nothing more than to glorify His Father and to bring you peace. Friends, I hope you hear this message, this good news. And I hope, like the shepherds, you'll spend time running to see Him. And then on your way back home, praising God and telling everyone about Him. Merry Christmas. Amen. Well, friends, as you go forth, I invite you to be like the shepherds who return to their work the next day, singing the praises of God and telling everyone what they had seen in Jesus. So go forth singing His praise and telling His story. Amen.